Okay, so the forms, we're going to use this, and then I think what we'll do is learn this part for the forms, because it's quite generalized, and then for root meaning, just put apieme down and then put leave. I don't know if we can come up with any kind of a
word, a single word that would get the meaning across on that thing. I don't know if it has the idea of going or what, you know, going away to uphold. Or what, I have to check that. So we'll just use afiemi as far as the root meaning is concerned. Use that as an example of it. And then as far as forms for your paradigm, just use the forms that are there, basic, without the preposition. Maybe a little compromising on some of these. First thing today is we want to take a look at Granville Sharp's rule in more detail than you've seen before. And I'll call your attention to this little book that's in the undergraduate library. This is Remarks on the Uses of the Definite Article by Granville Sharp. So these are photocopies from our old photocopy days. You know, at the old machine, Igor, I guess they called him, the copies are not the best. That's what I'm trying to say. But you should be able to, you should be able to read it and get some information from it. I'm going to summarize what is brought here, but this will give you, if anybody chooses to work on Granville Sharp's rule, you may want to take a look at this. This is his original work, and it's readable, but it's in that old English script where you got to watch the S's. A lot of the S's look like F's in the print, and. Apparently they had two different types of S's in the old English, and so that's the way it comes out. So it's a little bit slow reading, but you can get quite a bit of information from it, if you will. And there's a lot of scripture references and examples that he gives that if anybody wants to look into this, would certainly want to consider. So I'll make you aware of that. Maybe I'll just pass this around so you may take a look at it while we go through it. And then we'll put it back in the library so you can use it for reference. So what I'm giving you here is taken from his book, Remarks on the Uses of the Definite Article in the Greek Text. And he also has a parenthesis containing many new proofs of the divinity of Christ from passages that are wrongly translated in the Common English Version. So he was recognizing, now of course in his mind, being a Trinitarian, he was looking at just proving deity of Jesus Christ, not identity with the Father, but that's what many times ends up being the case. This was published in London in 1803, and there's actually six rules here, a whole argument. Most of what you've heard before has just been based on the first rule, but there's six rules involved, and so we want to go through all aspects of it here. And the first rule is the one that you're already familiar with, but I'll give you a little bit more qualification and detail on it, and we'll look at some examples in the New Testament. And the rule number one, I'll be giving you all six rules here, but rule number one, when the copulative chi, a copulative is a connecting word, C-O-P-U-L-A-T-I-V-E, if you've ever probably seen that term in grammatical works, when the copulative chi connects two nouns of the same case. I'll read this slowly so you can get it down, then we'll talk about it. When the copulative chi connects two nouns of the same case, and then he's got a parenthesis here, that is, nouns either substantive or adjective or participles. By nouns he means either substantives, adjectives, or participles. Of course, an adjective acting as a noun or a participle. Of personal description. This is another qualification he made. When a copulative chi connects two nouns of the same case, either substantive or adjective or participles, of personal description, respecting office, dignity, affinity, or connection, and attributes, properties, or qualities, good or ill. So I'll repeat that. This is the qualification to the kinds of nouns now. Do nouns of the same case of personal description respecting office, dignity, affinity, or connection. Office, dignity, affinity, or connection. And attributes, properties, or qualities, good or ill. And attributes, properties, or qualities, good or ill. So these nouns are dealing with attributes or qualities or properties in a substantive sense of a person. They will qualify, good or ill. Okay, if the article whole or any of its cases precedes the first of the said nouns or participles, if the article whole or any of its cases precedes the first of the said nouns or participles and is not repeated before the second noun or participle, and is not repeated before the second noun or participle, the latter always relates to the same person that is expressed or described by the first noun or participle. That is, it denotes a further description of the first named person. So I'll repeat that. The latter always relates to the same person. The latter always relates to the same person that is expressed or described. That is expressed or described by the first noun or participle. The latter always relates to the same person that is expressed or described by the first noun or participle. That is, it denotes a further description of the first named person. It denotes a further description of the first named person. Okay, I'll read the whole thing again. When the copulative chi connects two nouns of the same case, that is, nouns either substantive or adjective or participles, of personal description respecting office, dignity, affinity, or connection, and attributes, properties, or qualities, or good or ill, if the article whole or any of its cases precedes the first of the said nouns or participles and is not repeated before the second noun or participle, the latter always relates to the same person that is expressed or described by the first noun or participle. That is, it denotes a further description of the first named person. It denotes a further description of the first named person. Okay, to diagram this using symbols that are often seen in this type of situation, we use T for article, relating to English now, and noun, we'll use N, and then we have chi, and then we have a zero, dash N. That's the structure here. In other words, we have two nouns, and in the same case, they're connected by the copulative chi. The first noun has the article, the second noun is a zero here, using Gedge's symbol. So that's your pattern. I'm going to use this because we're going to compare this with some other patterns that exist in a little bit. So article, noun, chi, zero, and noun is the pattern here. And when these nouns are a personal reference, they are claimed by Granville Sharp to be referring to one and the same person, and that the second noun is a further description of the first named person. Okay, you're basically familiar with that from Unfolding Revelation of God class. Let's look at some examples in the New Testament. If you have your text with you, or an interlinear, you'll be fine, whatever you have there. If you've got your text, we can take a look at these. In 2 Corinthians 1:3, it's really nice to be able to have you look at the Greek now. In the Unfolding Rev classes, when I bring this, you know, I have to kind of spell it all out in detail and try to relate it to somebody who doesn't know Greek. But 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Is one example here. I'll try to give a few that he gave, and okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 3. Okay, we've got eulogetos ho theos kai pater tu kuriu hemon Jesu Christu ho pater ton oik tirmon Kai theos pases parakleseos. Okay, what we have here is the first phrase, ho theos kai pater. Now here we have two nouns, theos and pater, both of them God and Father, both of them in the nominative case. We have both of them are nouns of personal reference. The first noun has the article, the second noun does not, and they're joined by chi. So this satisfies all the conditions of Granville Sharp's rule. So we're talking about one individual, blessed be the God and Father, the one who is both God and Father. So one individual who is both God and Father, and of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is a case of Granville Sharp's rule. Of course, he picks some of these to establish his point before he deals with examples that are actually involving implications concerning the Godhead. But there are numerous examples in the scriptures of this. Now let's look at another one, Ephesians 6:21. It's talking about Tychicus here, Tychicus, and I'll just read the last part here, what we're interested in. We've got Tychicus here, ho agapetos, adelphos, kai pistos, diakonos, en curio. Okay, so we were describing Tychicus as ho agapetos, adelphos, so he's ho adelphos, the brother, kai pistos, diakonos, and servant, faithful servant in the Lord. And here we have adelphos with the article. Now, in this case, both of them have an adjective modifying them, too, but that's not going to affect the sense of this. You have the article on the first noun, ho agapetos adelphos, and no article on the second noun, diakonos, is omitting the article. And we have them joined by chi. They're both in the same case, and both are a personal reference. Brother and servant are both personal reference nouns. So this satisfies Granville Sharp's rule, and this would be claiming that the one who is the beloved brother and the faithful servant are one and the same. In other words, it's not a beloved brother over here and a faithful servant over here. And of course, his name is Tychicus. So there's another example that has nothing to do with the Godhead directly, but it's establishing the same point. This is a grammatical observation of the way in which things operate. And another example like that, Hebrews 3:1, any kind of an observation like this, of course, in order to safeguard against the very real possibility of someone coming up with a rule just to try to, because his theology says something, and trying to prove his theology from some rule that he makes up, and it's been accused that, you know, Granville Sharp would do something like that. I want to show you that this is a grammatical observation that applies universally throughout other applications, and from those precedents we can conclude that the implications about the Godhead are certainly the case. Not that we really needed Granville Sharp's rule to prove the deity of Christ, but it's an interesting sidelight on top of the rest. Hebrews 3:1. Here we have hoten adelphoi hagioi kleseos epuraniu metohoi Katanoesate ton apostolon kai archierea tes homologias himon Jesun. Okay, he's talking about the apostle and high priest of our faith and of our confession. The phrase here, ton apostolon kai archierea. Here we have two nouns, both in the accusative case. Ton apostolon and archierea, remember that's one of those epsilon upsilon stem third declension nouns, and so that's an accusative form. And first noun has the article, tone is on apostolon, and there's no article on archierea, and they're joined by chi. They're both a personal reference, high priest and apostle. And here again we have Granville Sharp's rule in effect. There's only one involved, that's Jesus, and he's the apostle and high priest. So those two terms are being joined together, as it were. The second noun is further describing that first named person. So here's another clear example, and I can't imagine anybody concluding that these were two persons here. All right, and then 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20. 2 Peter 2:20. Now, most of you are familiar with the ones we bring in Unfolding Rev, where it says, our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, and so forth. I'm wanting to give you some other examples here that you can see that this is a maxim that can be established from other scriptures. Although he does talk about some exceptions, and I'll get to that in a moment. 2 Peter 2:20. Okay. The phrase we're zeroing in on here is, well, agar apofugontes ta miasmata tu cosmu en epigenose tu kuriu hemon kai soteros Jesu Christu. All right, here we have the phrase tu kuriu hemon kai soteros. Tu kuriu here is genitive, and we have the article on kuriu. We have soteros, which is also genitive, no article on that. We have kai connecting the two. We do have a genitive modifier on the first one, but that's just, you know, it doesn't change the sense of it, just like an adjective wouldn't. And then we have an apposition to that, Jesu Christu, also in the genitive, naming the one that's involved. But it'd be the translation would be our Lord and Savior, the Lord and Savior of us, Jesus Christ, or the Lord of us and Savior, Jesus Christ. And both the Savior and Lord are referring to one and the same person, again, according to this observation. So these are a few examples, and he gives many others in the book there, so you can take an opportunity to look at those if you'd like. The only exceptions he admits are with proper names and with plural number. If you have proper names, now I'm not sure exactly why he's calling proper names an exception. You might have to check the details in there, but I think it may have to do with the fact that a proper name can be considered definite even without the article. And so it may, if the proper name's in the second position and so forth, then you may have a complication. Now, as far as the references that we're interested in as far as establishing the deity of Jesus Christ, none of those are involving proper names. It's always God and Savior or something like that. There's a proper name following it, but that's an apposition to the rest. That's part is separate from the construction. So it wouldn't be applicable as far as the passages that we're concerned with as far as the Godhead is concerned. Also, as far as plural number, of course, those wouldn't be relevant either to the Godhead issue. But it would be interesting. There are some instances in plural number. There's one example, I'm trying to think of what it is now. It seems like it's one in Ephesians. Talking about pastors and teachers. Maybe that's the one. I'm not sure right offhand. But it seems like there was a question that came up, and I can't remember, it's been years ago. There was a question that came up where it was an instance in which Granville Sharp's may be applicable. And maybe it was that reference,
eh? Yeah, it is plural, yeah.
Okay. Do we have the article on the first and not on the second?
I've heard it.
That might be the one I'm thinking of.
I heard it that this is also Granville Sharp.
Yeah, okay. That's the one that was debatable. I'm pretty sure that's it. Which is the exact reference?
411.
Okay. Yes. We've got tus de poimenas kai didaskalos. There's an example in which you have the article on the first noun. They're both in the same case. You have no article on the second noun. You have them joined by kai, but they're plurals. And most render this and recognize that this is referring to one office, pastor and teacher. But I don't know if you really need to have Granville Sharps per se to do that, just the way the thing is constructed, breaking up the pattern that you've already established. In other words, you've seen the article on all of these, tus apostolos, tus prophetas, tus evangelistas, tus poimenas, and then you have didaskalos with no article. And so just the pattern that's already established, I think, will give you enough information to conclude that that the pastors and teachers were one office. But there is a debate about whether or not that last clause is Granville Sharp's. And Granville Sharp himself said that plural of number is an exception. So that would be interesting if anybody wants to study this and go into detail. I think that would be a nice point to zero in on, to examine the question of whether the plurals fit. This one, this example, would give support for plurals working also. But then, of course, obviously he must have some examples that don't seem to fit. And so it might be worth it to track those down and do some study on that. Of course, that would not be as relevant to the question of the nature of God, but it would be interesting grammatically from another perspective. And when he says exceptions, he may mean that it doesn't always apply in those instances, but some instances it may. He may have to rely upon some context or other information as well in order to put the whole thing together. Now, the way I like to think of Granville Sharps in this respect is kind of like what we just discussed with the article. Remember the discussion of the bracketing function of the article, where the article will sometimes function to put brackets around a whole concept and treat it as one entity, whether it be a whole phrase or a portion of a phrase or a whole sentence even. Well, this is, can be considered that. You can be considering, in effect, this article functioning to put brackets around the two nouns that are in the same case here and considering them one concept. So, the Lord and Savior of us. Lord and Savior, a compound noun with a single article. The single article kind of binding the two together. And I think that's a pretty accurate picture of what's happening. Okay, and then the rest of the references you've had in the Unfolding Rev class, and there's many, many examples of this. And we need to, of course, have many examples, especially ones independent of any theological issue we may be dealing with, in order to establish the grammatical point. That does illustrate something, too. Whenever you're dealing with a grammatical point, and or even raising some questions with some of the grammatical ideas that have been propagated in some books, always consider this fact. We need to establish the grammatical thing separate from our theology. In other words, we need to be able to establish a grammatical point using passages and so forth that are independent of any theological acts we have to grind. And that's really what Randall Sharpe is attempting to do here. Okay. Now, rule two of Randall Sharpe's. The rules two through six are going to be kind of qualifications to this, or they're related to this. In other words, they're not completely independent of this. We'll go ahead and take questions before we go on.
Would Granville Sharpe's rule apply in Acts 2:23?
Acts 2:23. Let me take a look at it here. Okay. The determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, is that the phrase you're interested in?
Mm-hmm.
Well, perhaps, I mean, as far as the actual technical qualifications, they would. It would, in the sense you've got the article on boule, you've got no article on prognose, and you haven't joined by kind in the same case. The only possible hitch that might be is that he qualified this as having personal reference, nouns of personal reference. And since these would not be personal reference nouns per se, unless you're going to make persons of the Godhead out of them or something, you might have a problem there. But like I said, I think the problem runs in a fundamental thing. Unless you're going to personify the concept, unless you're using a figure of speech of personification, if you use that, I think you may have something. But he purposely gives that qualification, just not necessarily saying it doesn't apply elsewhere, but it does apply in these cases where it is a personal reference. So that might be your only hitch on that one.
So in other words, he's saying that as far as he's concerned, it's only valid when it's talking about people.
Right, right.
Because I remember, I think it was in Wiest, when one of his books, he was making this point that Granville Sharpe's rule applies to Acts 2:23, and of course he was making a Calvinistic
point. Yeah. Well, that could be. There may be. You see, Granville Sharpe himself qualified it as referring to people, because again, I think there's kind of a semantic situation involved here. It's people that you're often going to be multiplying titles to describe. In other words, you're going to be referring to the same person, but you're giving different descriptions of that person. And when you're dealing with concepts and so forth, you seldom are using different terms to describe the same concept in quite the same way. You're using different terms because you're trying to expand the concept and give different aspects of it. And I think that just looking at this, there is a relationship between the counsel and the foreknowledge of God. And there's a similar kind of an idea. You're bracketing those two concepts and putting them together. I think we can say that, but to make them identical or referring to the exact same thing, I think would be a problem, because the terms themselves are denoting certain things, certain aspects, and when you're dealing with persons, the terms that you associate with persons are very much used in an adjectival way, even though they may be nouns. They're really describing the person, they're functioning that way, and that seems to be far more appropriate for Granville Sharpe's situation. It's not to say that we don't see a similar function of the bracketing function. I think the bracketing function could be applied here without any problem. In other words, you've got a compound noun and you're putting one article on the whole thing. But you do run into some potential problems here too, because of the fact that when you're dealing with persons, almost invariably, this is something someone might want to study too. But as far as all the examples I know, the nouns are all in the same case. In other words, they're masculine, and the same gender. If you have two nouns in different genders, then your article is not going to be able to really apply to both of them. You see what the problem is? You can't have a feminine article or a masculine article and have one noun masculine, one noun feminine, and make this bracketing thing really work because you're going to violate concord with the second noun. So that may be a potential problem that would have to be considered. Be interesting, though, to examine, and I don't know if anybody has done this. I think Granville Sharp, if you read his articles, he may throw out some other examples to show that this doesn't fit and so forth, but we will get into some examples here later on in a different connection that way.
It would be interesting, though, for someone to take out. I'm going to be able to do it, but
yeah. Well, see, Dale, are you still going to be working on Granville Sharp, do you think? Okay. It's a big problem, so you have to kind of limit it in some respects. But we've got room for more than one to work on this, so if anybody else is interested, Greg Logan was interested for a while. I'm not sure. I think he's going to do something else now. But it'd really be good to examine some of these other instances. Of course, it would take some time and effort, you know, because it's kind of looking through. It's not going to be easy to just grab a concordance and find examples. You're going to have to kind of go through and inspect them yourself, unless you're willing to look up the article and everything that's got the article on it or something. That would be counterproductive also. Okay, but it is a very curious thing. I'd like to see a lot more done on that. In terms of categorizing various examples and then saying, what can we say about these examples? Do we see a certain pattern emerging here? All right. Rule number 2 in Granville Sharp's. And most of these are shorter. They're relating to the first one. But a repetition of the article before the second noun, if the copulative be omitted, will have the same effect and power. A repetition of the article before the second noun, if the copulative be omitted, will have the same effect and power. For it denotes a further description of the same person, property, or thing that is expressed by the first noun. Okay, a repetition of the article before the second noun. Now what he's saying is if you put the article in before the second noun and you take the chi out, you drop that out, take the copulative out, then you'll still have the same force. Okay, and I'll diagram this in a moment. But a repetition of the article before the second noun, if the copulative be omitted, will have the same effect and power, for it denotes a further description of the same person, property, or thing that is expressed by the first noun. Now, this isn't really too surprising. What he's talking about here is having article, noun, and then zero, and then article, and then noun. In other words, you have an article, noun, article, noun combination. Now, we've already seen this before, but we call it apposition, two nouns in apposition to each other. And so this time, though, we don't have the chi, but we do have the article repeated. And, I'll repeat it here. A repetition of the article before the second noun, if the copulative be omitted, will have the same effect and power. Now, if you leave the copulative in and do that, you'll find it changes. You'll get that later on. But a repetition of the article before the second noun, if the copulative be omitted, will have the same effect and power. For it denotes a further description of the same person, property, or thing that is expressed by the first noun. Now in this one he adds person, property, or thing. So this may expand even beyond the personal reference category. Having two nouns in apposition, you can do those with things and so forth as well as with persons. Let's look at a couple of examples of what he is illustrating here. What was that? For it denotes a further description of the same person, property, or thing that is expressed by the first noun. For it denotes a further description of the same person, property, or thing that is expressed by the first noun. So one more time, we'll read it all the way through. A repetition of the article before the second noun, if the copulative be omitted, will have the same effect and power, for it denotes a further description of the same person, property, or thing that is expressed by the first noun. And the pattern here for rule 2, this is rule 1 up here.
two, we have article noun, no copy of this article noun. And we might call this nouns in apposition, too. But we've called them before when we've seen this.
Let's look at a couple of examples. Luke 1:47, first example.
Was he really coming up with anything new?
Oh, I don't know. In this case, I think what he was trying to do, this one I think was probably well recognized before, but I think what he's trying to do is incorporate all of these things that, some of which had been seen before and some of which hadn't, and trying to put it all together and synthesize it into one relationship, harmonious relationship. So I don't think that this was anything particularly. And I don't think we can be prepared to say that Granville Sharp saw something that nobody else had seen before, but I think he was the one that put it all down and drew men's attention to it and made a point out of it, made an issue out of it. Of course, if it be a valid thing, then the Greeks certainly should have recognized this as well, as far as their language and as far as what they're trying to do is in terms of expression. And I think I've talked to Themis about it, and it doesn't seem to be any, it's not unusual to them. They don't call it Granville Sharp's rule, of course. It's just the way they used the article. But Granville Sharp is a British scholar and made an observation about this with reference to, specifically with reference to scriptures identifying and proving the deity of Jesus Christ. Well, in other words, he was probably writing a paper for the purpose of, in fact, even in his title, he gives this qualification about showing the divinity of Jesus Christ. So he may have just been collecting a bunch of observations in order to make a theological point. But many of the things that he's saying here, though, don't even relate to the direct issue of the Godhead. He's trying to codify, I suppose, and put it all together in one place. Many observations that are made in many other situations. Luke chapter 1, verse 47 is one example here that he cites. And Egaliasin to pneuma mu epi to theo to soteri mu. Okay, to theo to soteri. The God, the Savior of me. My God, at my God, my Savior, or God, my Savior is the way they translate it here. The mu applying to soter. So, and he says, and my spirit cannot keep from being overjoyed at God, my Savior. All right. We have a prepositional phrase, epi. We have to theo, to soteri. We have no copulative chi connecting the two nouns, but we have articles on both of them, and they're in the same case, and he's saying this is an example of the second rule, that they are both referring to one and the same thing. There's no connection between them, but they're in opposition to each other, and the abruptness and the construction here seems to be what he's pointing out. Yes?
I don't know whether you mentioned this before, but so far, every example has been where they're also the same gender.
Well, that's a good question. I think in any, as far as the first rule is concerned, they almost have to be the same gender in order for the article to distribute over both of them. Otherwise, you'd have a breakup in concord. And I don't know of any examples. All the examples seem to be you're talking about one person, and the nouns that are normally associated with the person who's male are going to be masculine. So I think that is almost taken care of by the fact that you're dealing with personal reference. Once you qualify those nouns to personal reference, you're pretty much limiting it that way. Now, there are instances where nouns that are, say, feminine are being equated. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and you've got, hey, Aletheia is one of the nouns there, and he's identifying with himself, but that's a stated, with the verb ami, it's a stated comparison rather than one of these other situations. So that would be something that he doesn't make any mention of, as far as I can see. I'm assuming that it's referring to the same gender as well, but potentially, I don't know if there's any cases that occur like that where you have nouns in different genders. Haven't run into any. So let's keep our eyes open as we're doing any translating, see if that ever might occur, but I doubt that we're going to run into it. Okay. John 1:29. Now, the place you might potentially run into it being this second rule, where it may be applying to things that aren't of personal reference, but like I say, I'm not sure of any clear examples here. But let's look at John 1:29. Se aparion lepe ton Jesun erhomenon pros auton, kai lege ide ho amnos tu theu, ho iron ten hamartian ton cosmon. Two cosmos. Well, here we have John saying, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." But you see, ho amnos here, tu theu, ho iron. And here's another situation. You've got the tu theu that is a genitive modifier of the first noun. But you've got a noun, ho amnos, and then you've got a participle, which is functioning as a substantive noun with the article again. So you have no kai connecting the two, but you have the article repeated. And this is what we would call nouns in apposition again. And the Lamb of God, the one taking, the one lifting up the sins of the world. So here's another example that he's claiming is referring to the same thing. In other words, the one who's the Lamb and the one who's lifting up the sins of the world are one and the same person. And, of course, there shouldn't be any debate about that theologically. That's obviously the case. But the interesting thing is that he's observing this construction, the repetition of the article with no conjunction chi between the two. All right? Those are the only two examples I've got written down here, and you can maybe look at some more in his work. Okay, rule three. This is again tying into the ones before. And the omission of the copulative between two or more nouns of the same case, of personal description or application, even without the article before the second noun, will have the same effect. And the omission of the copulative between two or more nouns of the same case, of personal description or application, even without the article before the second noun, will have the same effect. That is, it will denote a further description of the same person, property, or thing that is expressed by the first noun. Okay, I'll repeat that all again. The omission of the copulative between two or more nouns of the same case of personal description or application, even without the article before the second noun, will have the same effect. That is, it will denote a further description of the same person, property, or thing that is expressed by the first noun. So rule three is saying you can even drop out that second article here, as long as you don't have chi there. So you've got article, noun, zero, zero, and noun in this pattern. Okay. Did you need the last part again? Okay. I'll read the whole thing again. And the omission of the copulative between two or more nouns of the same case, of personal description or application. Omission of the copulative between two more nouns, of personal description or application, even without the article before the second noun. In other words, he's saying you can even drop the article off the second noun, as long as you'll omit chi. It's still setting up an appositional structure. In other words, he's saying that even if you drop the article off the second noun, as long as you don't have chi in there, you have an appositional structure. And so we'll have the same effect. That is, it will denote a further description of the same person, property, or thing that is expressed by the first noun. So rule three can be diagrammed this way. Article, noun, zero, zero, noun. Saying if you can put the article out in front and then you put these nouns in apposition to each other, the force of the article seems to be carrying over to both of these, you see. And this will also be an appositional structure, and the nouns will refer to the same person. Look at one example of that. Now this one, I'm not sure. Okay. This one could perhaps be considered debatable here, but Ephesians 5:20. You may want to look and see if there's some other examples in there. This one's got a proper name in it. That's why I think... No, there may not be any better examples. I don't know. In which case, there might be some suspicion about it. But we'll take it for what it's worth here. Ephesians 5:20. Eucharistuntes pantotea hyper panton en onomati tukuriu hemon Jesu Christu. All right, this is the this is the phrase we're wanting to zero in here, to kuriu hemon Jesu Christu. Well, in this instance, we have to kuriu, and the hemon is just a genitive modifier, and then Jesu Christu without the article. The problem being here that this is a proper name, so it might be considered having the article anyway. So if it is, it could be considered an example of the rule number two here. It's clearly appositional, whether you take it rule two or rule three. But the same without the article repeated, this is an example he's giving of this of the third rule. Article, two, noun, kuriu, and then Jesu Christu is the other noun, and Arthurus. And saying that they're referring to the same person. Of course, our Lord and Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ would be the phrase here, and there's no real problem in understanding that Jesus Christ and Lord are for the same person. But there may be a debate here. Now, does somebody have that article? Is it floating around there? Do you have rule three there? Does he have any other scripture examples?
He's got Romans 2, 19 and 20, and 1 Timothy 1:1.
Okay, Romans 2, 19 and 20. Let's see if that one has got... I want to find one that doesn't have personal reference here. I mean, a proper name, proper noun in it. 2:19 and 20, did you say? Okay. Romans 2:19 and 20. I'm trying to find the... Repetition of the article, or unless there's some manuscript variation. Okay, let me just check in here a little bit. Okay. Where are they going? Okay, he's got, where are they going? Fos. And the problem is that nothing seems to have the article to start with. In his example here, he's drawing an equation between hodegon, guide, and light, phos, and paideutein, educator. In other words, he's saying these nouns are all strung together as referring to one and the same individual. You're a guide, you're a light, you're an educator, teacher, you know, and didaskalon, and then ekonta. But the problem is that we don't have the article on the first one.
Maybe we're using the wrong text.
Yeah, that could be. Now, but the way he's got a copy here, he doesn't have the article on that either. No. And the initial copy is between two or more nouns, without the article before the second noun, will have the same effect. Well, what he may be saying is that we don't even need the article before the first one, so that even if the article is not repeated before the second noun, I guess we're just assuming that the first one had the article. If he's calling this an example of it, then the first one, what we may want to do here is put this in parentheses. In other words, the other one would be stringing an Arthur's noun together. And that's what this example will be showing. There doesn't seem to be any manuscript question on this, at least the way he's copying it here. The way he's copied it is the same way it's copied here. Okay, let's look at his other example, see if we can find one there. Okay, that one looks like, well, the third one is Ephesians 5:20. Well, we've got that one. Okay, and First Timothy 1:1. Let's take a look at that. This is kind of obliterated in the copy, so it's hard to read the text there. I better look it up. Okay, Paul, Apostle. Okay, these would all be looking like the same situation. You're starting with Ahasuerus now. You've got God, Savior of us, Jesus Christ, and you've got no article on God either, but you've got Soteros, you know, following right afterwards, with no copulative and no article. So I think that's what he's saying. We should... Right, Paulos Apostolos too. It'll be the same situation there. And that's the one he does. Yeah, apparently he's including both of those there. Okay, so let's put parentheses around the article there, the first one. It's not, the way it's worded there isn't real good. It just says in the omission of the copulative. It doesn't talk about that first article. It's mainly talking about the second one. Okay. So put a parenthesis around that. I'll have to change that here too. And then our Ephesians 5:20. Well, that one did have the article, so that on the first one, so I probably want to keep parentheses around that first one because it may sometimes be included. This is one somebody can look into as far as, you know, whether it's debatable or not. He doesn't. That's all the examples he really gives here, so that one might be a little bit shakier. Yes.
Is it? Are those all the
points he's using to prove the point 3? Well, let's see. He's got Romans 2:19-20. He's got Ephesians 5:20, which we've looked at. He's got 1 Timothy 1:1, and he's got Titus 1:1 also. It's the only other one. He's and etc. You know, Titus 1:1. Let's see if that's any different. I think that's similar to 1 Timothy. Okay. Paulos doulos theou. I think that's the main thing he's pointing out. He's got that in capitals here. That's the thing he's zeroing in on, then apostolos. So he's got paulos, doulos, apostolos, all of those in that position. And so he's saying you've got a string of them here, starting with Paul. That could be considered either definite, you know, articular or not. There's no stated article. But we have paulos, doulos, and apostolos.
Seems to work the same way as the no article needed on Yahweh.
Oh yeah, there's situations in proper names are definite by themselves, so it runs into some fuzzy distinctions there. But there are some times when you'll see the article in Greek, but it's usually because it's trying to identify a particular one from in the context or something like that, something else needed. These rules 2 and 3 are probably nothing earth-shaking anyway. They're just appositional, you know, it's just appositional constructions, and we could recognize these as appositional constructions without knowing about Granville Sharp's rule. So that may be why he didn't put a lot of emphasis and put a lot of examples on it. Just saying. Yeah, well, see, especially if he's using examples that have no article in the first noun. You know, it's kind of the rule is remarks on the use of the definite article. Or there's no definite article, it's no example. So he may have included that just to show something about the way nouns are grouped or something. And the rest of these, you'll see that. The rules 5 and 6. Well, let's see. 4 is okay. He's kind of, the rules 4, 5, and 6 are kind of dealing with when one of these conditions doesn't hold, you know, when it's not personal reference or when it's not connected by chi or whatever. So we'll get into that in a bit here to give some qualification to it. So let's go to rule 4. It says rule 4. Yet it is otherwise when the nouns are not of personal description or application, for then they denote distinct things or qualities. Yet it is otherwise when the nouns are not of personal description or application. It is otherwise when nouns are not of personal description or application. For then they denote distinct things or qualities. So if they're not personal nouns, this is kind of an answer to a question Mark brought up earlier. And this is his opinion, at least, on it. For then they denote distinct things or qualities. Now the example he gives here that I've written down is 2 Timothy 1:2. Yes, for them they denote distinct things or qualities. So they're not referring to the same person anymore once you do this. So 2 Timothy 1, 2, example he gives. To Timothy, let's see, you've got Timotheo, the dative, agape to techno, beloved child, and the thing he's zeroing in is charis, eleos, irene, apotheu, patroskai, Christu, Jesu, so forth. Charis, eleos, and irene, grace, mercy, and peace. Grace, mercy, peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's no, in this instance, you have nouns that are not referring to personal reference. So we're not saying that grace, mercy, and peace are one person. In other words, he's saying if these nouns were personal reference nouns, let's say it was apostle, high priest, and savior or something, that they'd all be referring to the same individual. But because they are not personal reference, then we are dealing with separate, distinct entities here. Now, notice there's no article on any of these. They're all anarthers. And so I don't know if you got a real clear-cut example here or not. Let's see if we can trace down some more. Let's see, 1 Timothy 1. Can't even read it there. It's obliterated. Looks like 4. This copy isn't real good in some of these areas, so I couldn't even see some of the references. Titus 1, 4, though, is one that I can read. Let me check that one.
Seems to be dodging some of the harder ones,
mm-hmm.
if there are.
It's possible. The rule number one is pretty easy to identify. Some of these other ones that are getting into fuzzy areas. Okay. To Titus, genuine child according to common faith. You have Titus and Techno there. That might be. But then you've got Charis, Kai, Irene. There you've got them joined by Kai, but you have no article on either one. Those would be two separate entities. That's probably the one he's looking at. So the point is that if the nouns are not a personal reference, regardless of anything else, you're dealing with separate concepts.
So the same situation with God, the Father, and Christ, the Savior.
Okay, well, in that instance, though, we do have personal reference. His main problem here is that they're not a personal reference. I'm sure he's looking at this other one. But you do have a point there. You have no article on God there and Jesus Christ. That would kind of fit into the next rule. There would show a separation there. But the rule four is if you relax the qualification that they are a personal reference, then you can't argue for it any longer. And I think that in some instances, he's not really saying that it will automatically be distinct things or qualities, but they probably denote distinct things or qualities. You can't argue that they're referring to the same one anymore. That's probably the major force of it. Okay, that rule five then says this, and also when there is no article before the first noun, the insertion of the copulative chi before the next noun or name of the same case denotes a different person or thing from the first. In other words, if you take the article off the first noun and then still use chi, you're going to be denoting separate things.
So rule four, we don't really have a diagram for it because that was just if they're not personal reference, doesn't apply. But rule five is having a zero noun and then chi and then zero and then noun. So you have two anarchists now joined by chi and no article on the first one. That will also denote different identities. So comparing this to rule one, it's just taking this first article and making it anarchist. That's going to split them up as well. So we'll get some examples of that next time. We're out of time for today.
Looks like the rule
is rule
on the copulative, not on the article.
Oh, on the copulative instead of the article? Yeah. It's really involving both. And I suppose most of the force is given to the first rule. These other ones are kind of these qualifications and trying to balance it out and showing what the exceptions are and that type of thing.